Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to digitalcommerce.com and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's digitalcommerce.com.
This is The Missing Link with your host, the insufferable, but never boring, Sean Jackson.
Welcome to The Missing Link, everyone. I'm your host, Sean Jackson. I'm joined, as always, by the conceptual Micah Gadea. Micah, how are you?
I'm awesome, Sean. How are you today?
I am very well, but I do think that we owe something to our audience right now. And because we're just finishing up our multi-part series on how to do sponsored updates with AJ Wilcox, right?
Right.
And we had two great episodes with him, right, back to back, about how to go through and actually do everything you need to create up a sponsored update.
Right.
But then I forgot that we've left out.
What did we leave out, Sean?
We left out something very important, which is how to prepare to do sponsored updates, right?
Right.
And it's funny because Benjamin Franklin said, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail, right? Which is, I always love the fact that his face is on the $100 bill because that quote and the $100 bill go hand in hand, right?
Exactly.
Because, you know, it's money. If you prepare properly, you will be saving money. Mm-hmm. And we didn't go in depth on that particular topic of how to prepare properly for sponsored updates. So, I'm sorry.
It's the perfect time right now.
Yeah, and I blame Micah for it all, but you know, she's the co-host. Oh. So we're going to go through this episode in depth, Micah and I, on how to prepare to do sponsored updates the right way. And if you're just listening, go back, listen to part one or part two of the sponsored update shows that we did with AJ Wilcox. We'll have them in the show notes for you. And by all means, take the time to go into our super secret private LinkedIn group and see some of the discussions about this, some of the questions, right. Because unlike any other show you hear out there, we're a part of our show by being a participant in our group. That's how we drive content, right, Micah?
Exactly. And AJ Wilcox is actually a member in there.
That's right. So if you join our group, you can get in, ask questions, figure out what is going to work for you, get through your stumbling blocks, et cetera. So take the time to do that. And Micah, how would they do that?
Oh, it's very easy. So if you're in the continental United States, you'll take out your mobile device and you will text us at 41411. You will enter your keyword, MyLink, MYLINK, and make sure to take out that space. And if you are outside of the continental United States, you will simply send us an email at missinglink@rainmaker.fm.
So take time during our break to go ahead and get on your mobile device or just send us an email. And when we come back, we will go through in depth how to prepare to do sponsored updates the right way so you will be successful at it. So stay tuned.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. And as promised, we are going to go in depth into how to prepare for sponsored updates. So, Micah,
yes,
your role in this episode is the novice. Okay.
I think I'll just learn.
Yeah, I think you'll just learn. I know it's a stretch, but you're going to be the person who does not know how to do sponsored updates. And further, you don't know how to prep for it. Okay.
You got it.
So I want you to ask questions as need be, but I want to walk through with you now. I'm going to be teaching you what you need to do. Now, when it comes to doing sponsored updates, to prepare properly for it, there are three main elements that you have to concentrate on, okay?
Okay.
Now, the first one is audience research, all right? Now, audience research is, quite frankly, a lot of time is spent in audience research, but it's time well spent. And I'm going to give you some shortcuts to do it, Micah.
Okay.
The first thing that I want you to do is I want you to pull up your web browser and I want you to go to www.linkedin.com/topic www.mikeandiwithoutaa.com/content-marketing. Now, don't worry if you're listening to the show. We're going to have this in the show notes. There'll be a link there. But what happens when you go to that /topic subdirectory on LinkedIn is you are going to be presented with a wealth of information on the topic of content marketing. Now, how can this apply to you, Micah? Well, let's say that you're interested in data management, for instance, or you're interested in copywriting. You just put that word at the end of that URL, and you're going to see a huge amount of information, Micah. You're going to see things like how many people have that term in their profile. You're going to see things like, who are the influencers for that term? What are other skill sets that people are using when they use that term? You're going to see groups that are related to that particular term. Okay?
Yeah.
I ran across this by accident, actually, and I was blown away. And once we started sharing this with people, they could not believe the huge amount of data on that particular term that was available from LinkedIn for free. And I was like,
oh, wow.
I know, it's awesome.
I've got it. Okay.
That helps start the conversation. That helps you start to conceptualize. I want to start to reach people that have this term in their profile or in the groups that they're joining, et cetera. It gives you a huge amount of data. So that's number one in audience research. Spend some time on that topic functionality.
Okay.
Number two is I want you to open up your spreadsheet, right? Whether it's in Google or Excel, whatever spreadsheet you happen to use. Because you're going to start a list of your best customers. Now, Michael, what do you think I mean by best customers?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Okay.
Probably the ones you're most engaged with or someone who is buying from you currently.
Yes, but I think you can go a little deeper than that too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what you want is, I think you want to clone your best customers, right? So think about it, right? Because
yep.
just because they're paying you doesn't mean they're not a pain in the butt, right? You know, so you kind of want the people that you really would love to have more of. If you say, I like, you know, XYZ person because of this, they spend a lot of money with me, I love hanging out with them, they're always asking their questions, they're giving me great work. Those mm-hmm. are the ideal customers. And we're going to create up a spreadsheet of them. And you're going to go ahead in the first column and you're going to put their name there. Mm-hmm. And in the second column, you're going to title it attribute. And what do I mean by attributes? Well, you're going to start to get the LinkedIn profile for every one of your customers. And you're going to want to start looking at certain features or certain elements of their profile on LinkedIn so you can record it in your spreadsheet. So let's use our friend Jabez. You remember good old Jabez there?
I love Jabez.
So let's say Jabez is our ideal customer, our ideal client. We want more Jabez people. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to write in his name. We're going to say name, Jabez. And then we're going to put the attribute down. And what are we going to look for? Well, one of the first things I start to look for is right underneath the professional headline. There's the name, the professional headline. They're going to have their location. So just write in the attribute location. Mm-hmm. And in the next column, you write in their city or geographic area. So in his case, it's San Francisco. And then you go to the next line, you write Jabez, and then maybe you want to find out his industry. Remember that you put an industry when you create up a profile. So
right.
you'd say Jabez, and then you'd write in the next column his industry, and then in the third column, you'd put in marketing and advertising, all right? So what are some other things that we can start to fill in the spreadsheet with? Well, you know, he has a company. How big is this company? So maybe one of the attributes is company size, and we write in the company size, 11 to 50. Maybe we want to see what his title is. So we would come in, and again, a new line, Jabez, his title, and then the third column would be CMO. And so we start to look through this, but there's some other things that I personally would look at. I would look at their top five skills that people have been voting for them on, right? You know, when it comes to endorsements. So I'd put in their skills and I would put in their top five. I would also go ahead and I'd look to see if there's any groups that we share in common together, okay? If you look on the far right-hand side of their profile, towards the bottom, you'll see that the people that you're connected with in common, as well as groups that you have in common. So I think this is, again, a place where you can spend some time, and it's great work for an intern, right? I mean, this is the type of thing you send the intern after.
I was like, that is a lot of time.
Yeah, it is a lot of time, but it is important because of the next step in the process. Because once you have all of these attributes of your ideal customer or client,
Now, how many are we doing?
You know, that's a great question. You know, I think it's enough. If you're a small firm, it could be just, you know, five, maybe less than a handful.
Oh, okay.
If you're really large, it may be 10 or 20. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, think about it. If you have 100 clients, there's probably only like 10 that you really like.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
So if you're really small, you may be able to do all of them because you're more selective in who you take as a client. So if you're really big like us, you may have to go a little bit further, maybe a couple hundred, right? So I think it depends on how big is your current client or customer base and taking a small enough segment of people that you would love to replicate, right, as clients or customers.
Smart.
Now, as you have this spreadsheet, as you fill it out, once it's completed, you're going to go to the next thing, which is advanced search. Now, Micah, you know one of the questions we get a lot?
What's that?
Why should I pay for LinkedIn?
Oh,
right?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody's asking
It's true. That's a hot topic.
Yeah, and I come in and I say, well, it depends if you need the features that they offer for a fee.
Okay.
And in the case of advanced research, you have to pay to get some of the advanced information or some of the advanced search features, right? So in that case, yes, I would pay for it. Absolutely.
And because, you don't have to pay month after month, right?
No. I mean, you can jump in and jump out. I mean, don't feel like you're committing for the next, you know, 20 years of your life, right?
Right.
You know, just go in, pay for the proper account that allows you to take those attributes from that spreadsheet and start to put them into the advanced search functionality to find those customers or clients that are matching those particular attributes that you already recorded.
Right.
Because here's what will happen. If you start putting it in, you're going to start to see those clients or customers come up as the first, second, third item in the list. But you're also going to see other people, second, third degree connections that match or are similar to them. See what I'm getting at?
Got it.
And I love that because if you do it right, if we, like we are doing in our sample with Jabez, if we can go ahead and find all the attributes of Jabez and put them in, and we see Jabez come up number one, and then the people below him are similar to him, then I would call them Jabez-y.
Exactly. Jabez-y is now a word.
Jabez-y is a word. They're Jabez-y-like, right? They match and are similar to someone I want to do further business with or I'm doing business with.
Right.
They are people that are similar in all of the attributes that I put together.
I love that.
Oh, I do too, because that way, once you find your Jabez-y mix of people, right? Then you know that you're zeroing in and you're looking at them. Do they kind of match? Are they all kind of similar? Are these people that I'd like to do business with and like to attract via my sponsored update? Now, two elements of that page are super important. Number one, as you are building out this advanced search, you're going to want to go to the top right of the screen, right, Micah? And do what?
And you're going to save your search.
That's
so
right.
So that you can recheck it every week and see which ones are new, which ones are added.
That's right. It's save search. It's a little gear icon in the upper right-hand side. And then also, you're going to want to pay attention to the number of people that come back in that results for the advanced search, right? And so I don't know if that number is going to be too big, too small, just right. You're going to have to make that call, right? It's the Goldilocks number, right? See, you're going to have to figure out if it's just right. But look in the top left-hand corner above the names, above the list of people that come back, and start keeping a track of that number as you're saving your search. Because if it's too small, it may not be worth your time. If it's too big, it may be too expensive. You'll have to make that Goldilocks call, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the first primary element of doing the prep work is audience research.
Okay.
By going to topics, by looking at your current customers, getting details about them, and then going ahead and finding others in that mix and recording this, right? Because again, this is going to form the baseline of when you go into sponsored updates and do all that demographic stuff that we talked about. This is the stuff that's going to come back. These numbers that you're looking at, the attributes that you're looking at are going to be used when you're going to do your sponsored update. Okay. Now, let's go into the second element, which is content ideas. Okay, so we did audience research, now content ideas.
Okay.
When it comes to content ideas, you're going to want several of them. But here's how to focus your effort on the content ideas. Number one, headlines, right? Focus on headlines first. Don't write one piece of copy unless you have a series of headlines that you really would like to put out there and think will work, Right.
All right. Right. And I'll make sure that we put that, our amazing ebook about how to write magnetic headlines that I think everyone at Copyblogger still references often. And it will give you so many choices and options for where you can lead your call to action.
Absolutely.
Your content.
And now, secondly, as Micah mentioned, is your call to action. So after you have a series of headlines, write them down. Then you're going to want to create up a series of calls to action, right? There's not going to be just one that works. You're going to want to try different ones.
Right.
And then the third thing is you're going to want to make sure that your content is mobile consumable. Now try to say that fast. mobile consumable. But what that really means is that as you're thinking about what you are writing, you're going to want to make sure that you're using either text or a video or an image that can be consumed on a mobile device easily.
Right.
So if you've got a graphic that is in a lot of detail, it may not show up on those small little mobile devices properly, okay? So make sure that when you're thinking of your content ideas, you're creating a series of headlines, a series of calls to action, and that the content that you actually are putting out there for consumption is mobile consumable. Now, the reason you want to do this is because LinkedIn is going to give you two ways for free to test that content out. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to put a series of content out there on Pulse. And you may put that same content into your company updates on your company page, okay? Now, again, I cannot stress this enough. You need to test your content ideas out. And LinkedIn allows you to do that for free. Because when you put your content out there, you will have analytics for free on who is responding to it.
Yeah.
Both in Pulse and on your company update page, you will have analytics. So now you can test your content ideas, mixing headlines, calls to action, and seeing, are people engaging with it? Are they clicking on your call to action? Are they doing the things that you want them to do? And LinkedIn will give you the analytics for free on both Pulse post as well as company update page.
There you go.
Now, Micah, I know from our experience together doing your first Pulse post, you were a little nervous.
I think that's an understatement, Sean, but yeah.
So here's the thing, though. I'm sure that some people are listening going, I don't want to spam my followers on LinkedIn. I'm going to tell you something right now, Micah. That is not a valid fear. Okay. I mean, it may be valid. I mean, it's a fear, but don't worry about it.
There you go.
Because
move past it.
Because people are competing for people's time and attention. Okay. I mean, I wish I could publish something and everyone who follows me will sit down, take the time to read it, you know, right. and talk about it and go to Starbucks and have a coffee latte. And,
can you believe what Sean Jackson posted
exactly.
on Pulse? Oh my God.
It is as narcissistic as I am. Okay. That's just not the case. The reality is that people will see it or maybe not see it. If they like it, they'll engage with it, okay?
Right.
And again, you're trying to use these free things to figure out what really does resonate. And if you find something that resonates, trust me, the people that read it were happy that you produced it, okay?
Yes, okay.
So that's the second big element of our production is content ideas, is we did our audience research, we're using Pulse and company updates, getting the analytics, seeing if those analytics are the type of target audience we're trying to reach, if we're getting the type of engagement that we're looking for, if people are clicking on the call to action. All of this is what we're trying to test and focus on for free inside of LinkedIn, okay? Now, the third big element of prep work is the thing that will literally make or break your entire sponsored update campaign, okay? Mm. It is preparing your site for the traffic that you're going to get, okay?
Yep.
Because again, we're marketers, right? We're inspiring people to act and we want to get them to a landing page that then gets them to fill in some sort of form that gets them further into our funnel. Okay. There are four things inside of your site you have got to. Boy, that sounds like a good old soul song. Got to. You got to do.
Busy, got to, mobile, yeah, exactly. Consumable. We are all over the map. Yeah.
You've got to do these things. Number one. Gosh, I can't even have to say this enough. You have to A/B test your landing page on your site.
Right.
Now, what we mean by that is you're going to test your headline and your calls to action, your forms. You're going to test variations of them on your site. Now, if you're using Rainmaker Platform, we make it really easy because we have landing pages and A/B testing built into it. But you're going to have to test people because think about it this way. Let's say all of a sudden a million people want to come to this page, right? And only yes. one converts. Wow. Wouldn't you feel silly if that was the case?
Yep.
So test your landing page. It's not that hard. There's plenty of optimization tools out there for landing pages. And I cannot stress enough, you have to test your landing page. Number two, speaking of landing page, is it has to be a mobile first landing page.
Yes.
Now, let me explain what I mean by that, Micah. Mobile, there's mobile friendly and there's mobile first. Mobile friendly is it kind of works on a mobile device pretty well, right? Right. Mobile first is it is designed for the mobile device to begin with. And it kind of works really nice on the desktop. Okay. In other words, you have to make sure that that landing page, the form that you have on it, whatever calls to action you have got to be designed to work seamlessly in the mobile experience. Now, you want some ideas about how to think about that mobile first approach? Let me give it to you. First off, if you're asking people for their email, really, email on a mobile device? Have you ever tried to put in your email address on a mobile device, Micah? It's kind of a pain in the butt. Maybe you ask for a cell phone number, right? A 10-digit cell phone number, right? That's a lot easier to type in than your email address. Maybe you even go a little step further and make a one click to the call to action, which is using a, click here to log in with your Facebook or your LinkedIn or your Twitter account. You've seen those before, Micah?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the call to action. Maybe because, again, it's on a mobile first world that I don't want people to input anything. I just want them to click and authorize me to get their information out of LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter.
Wow.
Right? That's what a mobile first thinking is. And that's the second part of setting up your site. The third part, of course, and again, this is like the, could have had a V8. make sure Google Analytics is set up on that page and set up properly.
Right.
It's not just about throwing the code on there. It is making sure that you have the proper tagging in there to follow them through the entire process, right? From the making sure that you're identifying them when they come out of that sponsored update link to that landing page, from that landing page to the call to action. Make sure you just set up Google Analytics right. And the good news is, Micah, good news is there's so many freelancers out there that can do the very basics of setting up Google Analytics for you, right? There's a lot of agencies out there that will not charge you a lot to set it up. But it's almost kind of like saying, hey, I'm about to spend a whole bunch of money, but I really don't care to know what happened with it, right?
Yeah.
If you don't set up Google Analytics, you're acting that way. Now, the fourth thing. And this is, I think, a way, I would almost say this is optional, but really not optional. So the fourth thing in setting up your site is this. You're going to be driving a lot of traffic via mobile devices from those sponsored updates to your landing page, et cetera. And the reality is I'm going to hit that landing page. And you know what? My kid comes running in. daddy. And I'm like, oh, gosh, got to go ahead and take care of whatever it is. Stop hitting your sister, right?
Right.
And I'm going to walk away from that landing page and forget about it entirely, okay? Because the reality is that as marketers, our biggest competition is time and attention, right?
Right.
Is that people are constantly having their time and attention distracted. And as marketers, we need to cut through that sometimes. We need to go through and say, no, we're here. Don't you remember us? Don't you remember that you wanted to interact with us? And the way you do that, which I think has really been the holy grail of online marketing of late, is retargeting, right?
Yeah.
Coming in and putting in the ad roll code, which ad roll basically allows you, it's a little expensive, but it's fairly easy. You put some code on your site and it says, if this person does not complete the form to go further in, then I'm going to show them ads in Facebook, in Google, in wherever they happen to be, so that it reminds them to come back to that landing page that they did not complete. All right. Now, Google has their own retargeting. So does Facebook. So does Twitter, et cetera. But you have to put it on there because here's why. It, for literally pennies sometimes, reinforces your messaging to them to come back to that page that they've already visited Mm-hmm. And does it in a way that reminds them, hey, there was something that you really liked about what we had to say. Come back and give us your information and go further into our process with us. Okay? So those are the really three big elements or the cornerstone of properly setting up a sponsored uptake campaign. Doing your audience research, number one. Coming up with good content ideas and testing them on Pulse and company update pages so that you can see if they're resonating, see if people are interacting with them. And then the third cornerstone is really the idea of setting up your site properly, that mobile-first approach, testing that landing page to make sure that you're putting up the one that converts the best, that you're going ahead and making sure analytics is set up right, and that you incorporate ad roll or ad retargeting, so that people that don't complete the action can be reminded of it as they interact on the web to come back to it. Right. If you do those three things, Micah, then your sponsored update campaign is going to be much, much more enjoyable experience because it's going to generate better results.
Right, right. I love this. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. So what are your questions?
The only question that I'm thinking of right now, so I do my A/B testing on my content ideas. Are those, and the ones that really take off, are those the ones that I am going to spend my money on?
So actually, you're asking two different questions.
Oh, you are so welcome, Sean. So let's go ahead and filter that out.
Let's go through the content first and then the A/B.
Okay.
First is the content ideas. Yes, you are going to be putting out content in Pulse and on updates, and you're going to be experimenting, and you're going to want to find from that experiment the one story or a series of stories that resonate the most. They get the best click-through rates to your landing pages. They get the best engagement with the target audience that you're going after. So okay. Yes, to answer that question is the purpose of your content idea testing is to find that one or two or three pieces of content that you're willing to spend money on through okay. sponsored updates. So absolutely. But you're going to be looking for, not only are you reaching the right audience, but is that audience clicking through to the landing page, right? Which is why site setup is so important, is right. that are they clicking through to that landing page? Are they filling in that form, right? Because again, you may only get one or two or three people doing it, but if those one or two, three people go all the way through the process of reading on LinkedIn to your landing page, filling out a form, then you know what? That may be the best piece of content to amplify
right.
by spending okay. money on sponsored updates. What else?
That's it actually right now in this moment because I haven't practiced. I don't have experience doing these things. So,
yeah, of
but
course.
Once people are in there, please come into our group and ask these questions as you're going through this.
That's right. Because again, there is some nuance to this. The A/B testing the landing page, which was also part of your conversation, right? Is that, you know, what is that A/B testing? What is it really like? I mean, I understand it's scary. Okay. I get that it's scary. But it is doable, all right? There's so many tools out there that will help you do it once you know that you need to do it. So A/B right. testing a landing page could be as simple as getting a Rainmaker platform site. It could be as simple as going to leadpages.net. It could be as simple as just hiring somebody on, you know, Odesk or Elance or whatever they call it nowadays and just having them put something together for you. But again, why spend money on sponsored updates if you haven't thoroughly tested the entire premise of it by preparing in the manner that I've indicated, right?
Right. And also, I mean, you're going to get leads as you're doing the quote unquote testing and preparing work or preparation work. You're also getting leads.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's like you're actually doing your work.
Yeah, it may not be as many as you'd like, but you know right. what? You may be getting exactly. some of it. So it's exactly. not for, it is not for naught, right? And exactly. that's the thing that I can't stress enough is that, you know, if you take the time to prepare, if you will use your energies to go through the three elements that I've outlined, your right. audience research, your content ideas, and preparing your site, then you will find that one piece of content that resonates so well that people are dying to see and read and act on. And then you can spend your money on results. All righty, Micah.
Love it.
So we've covered off. This has been the third part of our series on sponsored updates. Now I'm tired of talking about it. So
it might be a little out of order, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. As I said, I'm not too bright in this whole thing. I'm learning like you people are, okay? These are my questions that I wanted answered. So go ahead, join our group, ask your questions. AJ will be there. Mike and I are always there. There are other members of our community that can share in. Ask the questions that can help you succeed because you help drive the content of our show. And with that, Micah, I think we have concluded another episode of The Missing Link. Any parting thoughts?
Yep. just want to thank you all for listening and staying with us, and let us know what you want to hear about.
Absolutely. And I couldn't say it better myself. Have a great week, and we'll catch you next time on The Missing Link.
You have just experienced The Missing Link exclusively on Rainmaker.fm.